Today's sermon text is found in the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. If you want to follow along, you'll find Matthew in the New Testament, the first book of the New. Dial back a few pages and you've got Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. Listen for God's word. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Easy for me to say. Let me try one more time. How are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from destroying your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. O Lord our God, we give you thanks for this word. And we pray that as we reflect on it together, that you would give us ears to hear what you are saying to your church this day. Help us to give all that we have to you, that it might not ever be asked of us, how do you rob me? Help us to return to you, Lord, with all that we are and all that we have, even in these moments. And bless us as we reflect on this passage of Scripture. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. When you give Christmas gifts to your family or friends, you have just done that, remember? It was so last year to have thought about those things, but it was just a month ago that you did this. What were your motivations? Why would you give gifts to your family or friends? What's it all about? Love, to show them you love them. Yeah? Anything else, Sue? Yeah. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Sure. Yeah. Very good. Thank you. The reason we give gifts and receive them is because Jesus received gifts. That's a good way of interpreting the Christmas story. Jesus, as a newborn baby, was given gifts. And so we give gifts out of joy. Because of that moment. Very good. It serves multiple purposes, right? But the gifts we give, in and of themselves, the tangible things that we give, have some value because we had to buy them or make them or whatever it is. But the real value does not lie in the actual thing itself, right? Whether it represents our love for each other or the story of Jesus or whatever it is, there's always something behind the gift that symbolizes the relationship that we have, the love that we have for each other. And when material gifts, at Christmas time or other times, when material gifts are refused or rejected, it's clear that the relationship is broken, that something is not right. I want to confess a personal story that makes me look rather foolish. Hopefully you'll indulge me in this. to illustrate the idea that physical items represent where our hearts truly are. When I was in college, I was dating a young lady, not Tara. This has nothing to do with Tara. Okay, so she's off the hook today. I was dating a young lady. We dated for about a year. We were 18, 19 years old, freshmen into sophomore year of college. And everything was just swimmingly great. We had lots of fun and all this stuff. And then I realized this is really not a healthy relationship. We were not in a healthy place. It was codependent, and we were emotionally entangled with each other, and it was just a mess. It was just terrible. It turned out to be not a really healthy thing. So we were not fit for each other, and it came time for me to call things off. These kinds of things are always kind of messy, so I took a while to get to that point. But when things were kind of rocky, my girlfriend gave me a necklace. I don't remember much about it, except it was, I think, goldish. It looked kind of expensive. I'm not really a jewelry kind of guy, so I said, thank you very much. She gave it to me as a way of promising to me that she was going to work to make things better on her end. It was a way of committing to me and to saying, you know what, I believe in this and I want to see this through. Necklace, great. Within a month, I had broken up with her. Things weren't very great. She gave me this necklace. So here's the thing. Here's where I really look foolish. So we break up, right? Life goes on. Except now I have this necklace. And I'm not much of a necklace guy. And here's my way of thinking, which is really the foolish part. If I were in her shoes, guys, that's the first mistake to make. You're never in her shoes. If I were in her shoes, I would be thinking, now I've just given this necklace to this guy. He's broken up with me. I'm out the money and the necklace and the relationship. The least I could do for her was give the necklace back. I did this. Except I did it so passive-aggressively. I don't have anything to do with her anymore. We didn't see each other anymore. So it turns out that her father was a chemistry professor at the school that we were attending. And my best friend had a class with this chemistry prof. So I did this. Honest to God, I gave the necklace to my best friend with the instructions that he was to give it to her father in chemistry class, and then it worked perfectly in my mind. Maggie's shaking her head, and she knows it's bad. It's bad. He would give it to his daughter. I returned the necklace to her. A couple of weeks later, here comes my best friend carrying a box. What's in the box, Sean? What's in the box? It came from the chemistry professor, from his daughter, my ex-girlfriend. What's in the box were all of the things I had ever given her. Teddy bears, whatever, notes, cards, anything that I had ever given to her and she had kept were in this box. You give me the necklace, I'll give you everything back. I thought I probably deserved that. Oh, I probably deserved that. It would work for you? Thank you, Nancy. I'll keep that in mind, I guess. Physical items, tangible things, necklaces, teddy bears, cards, whatever, they're really not much meaning in them except when they're related to some kind of relationship. When they're connected to a relationship that we have, suddenly these physical objects that could have been returned to the store for whatever kind of money she spent on it, suddenly they have way more meaning than we thought they did. Right? Physical objects, tangible things, represent where our hearts are. God's people throughout our history have had a tendency of straying away from Him. And one of the first evidences of our straying away from Him is when we have a different view of our tangible goods. To realize that our goods belong to the Lord and not to us is one of the first steps in our active and healthy relationship with Him. Over and over again in the Old Testament, God says to His people, return to me and I will return to you, and you will see tremendous blessing poured out on you, more than you could even handle, like Malachi says. I will throw open the floodgates of heaven and there will be so much blessing on you that you won't be able to take it all in. It's hyperbolic language. It's exaggerated language to say this relationship will work if you just participate in it. It reminds me of the story that Heather read from John 1 today, the story of Jesus calling his first disciples. And Nathanael, the one that Jesus hadn't even met in person, has been seen by Jesus while he was sitting under the tree. How could you know that I was doing this? Well, I saw you. Well, that's tremendous. I'll follow you. You think that's great? You'll see more tremendous things than that. You will see heaven opened and angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Whatever that means, whatever that looks like. Hyperbolic language, exaggerated language to say the best is yet to come. Just hang there in relationship with me. God is interested in this. God is interested in healthy, living, vital relationship with his people. We use the word covenant to describe that relationship. Covenant is really the theme of the entire scripture, that God wants to be in covenant relationship with us. A covenant is where both sides give something, sacrifice something, to show their commitment to each other and their constant relationship with each other. Malachi writes, I, the Lord God, do not change. And how true it is that God is always faithful to his people. He always preserves his people and always yearns to be in relationship with them. Return to me, and I will return to you. How should we return to you, O God? And God answers our question with a question. Why do you rob me? Rob God? God, the owner of all things? How could we possibly rob God? We prevent our return to God by robbing him. That's Malachi's argument. We prevent our return to God, the restoration of relationship with him, by robbing him. How do we rob God? In tithes and offerings, Malachi says. There are two sides to this coin. There's the material side. Tithes and offerings, material goods that are withheld from the Lord. That's one way of robbing God. But remember, material goods, physical things, tangible items, only point to meaningful things when they're connected to relationships. They have no value in and of themselves. Like our Christmas gifts or like the necklaces that we give each other. They're only valuable when connected to relationships. The other side of the tithes and offerings coin is the spiritual side, the relational side. We withhold our tithes and offerings is a way of saying we withhold our very selves from God. You rob me, God says. The only thing God wants is all that we are and all that we have. And when we withhold ourselves from God, we are robbing the thing that he wants the most. When we withhold ourselves from God, we disrupt his ministry. We disrupt his spiritual life. We disrupt his church. We disrupt the service that he intends to complete through us. We disrupt our relationship with God and our relationship with others when we withhold ourselves from him. Return to me, God says. Return to me, and I will return to you. What I didn't realize about my ex-girlfriend's necklace was that to her, this little necklace represented our entire relationship. I didn't get it at the time. I thought that when I returned it to her, that would be a good thing. But when I returned it to her, it was clear what was going on. It was over. There was nothing to be salvaged from this. It was all done. When I withheld that from her, or rather returned it to her, when I withheld the gift of giving it to me, it was a sign that the relationship was broken. And when she returned everything to me, it became clear to me what had happened. The objects didn't matter by themselves. They represented the relationship. The gifts that we give to our family and friends at Christmas time and their birthdays and throughout the year, they're wonderful things to give, but they always, always represent something deeper. The relationship we have with each other. When we give to God, when we put money in the offering plate, materially, tangibly, On the one side of the coin, what we are doing is funding the life and ministry of this church. You remember last week I said that, Pastor Jerry, you weren't here, so I'll fill you in. 46% of our church budget, 46% of our annual church budget goes to the salaries of your senior pastor and youth pastor combined. 46%. The other 54% keep the fans moving and the projector projecting and the sound system sounding and propaning and all the stuff that we love to do to keep this place moving. It funds the life and ministry of this church when we put money in the offering plate. And it goes beyond the walls of this facility, of course. It goes, a portion of the tithes and offerings we give go to other ministries to support missionaries and other kinds of work around the world. This is all well and good. That's the material side of the coin. But the spiritual side of the coin is just as important. The tithes and offerings that we give to the Lord represent something much deeper, which is our relationship with God. The health of our relationship with God is symbolized by how we give of ourselves to the Lord. When we put money in the offering plate, it shows our gratitude for the relationship that we have with the Lord through Jesus Christ. It shows our trust in His provision for our everyday needs. It shows our reliance on Him for all things. This practice is part of our covenant relationship with God. It was the case in the days of the Old Testament. Malachi refers to these tithes and offerings. And they're kind of compulsory tithes, expected tithes, things that you would just give out of a matter of course. And functionally what they did was they provided for the needs of the priests and Levites, those who served in the church. This pattern has been going on for really kind of a long time. But spiritually it had the other meaning. The people are remaining connected to God by giving of themselves before the Lord. A covenant is a two-way relationship. We give to the Lord. What does God give to us? What's His end of the bargain? What does God promise to us in return? Malachi says, it's more than you can handle. He uses that exaggerated language. The floodgates will open. There will be more blessing than you can handle. There will be no locusts, no pests to devour your crops. Wouldn't that be something? If you didn't have to use the pesticides or whatever to keep the bugs off of your crops, there will be none of those, God says. There will be no vines that shed their fruits before the fruit gets ripe. Don't you hate it? When the plant grows and the fruit develops but isn't ripe and then falls off for one reason or another. There will be none of that, God says. Everyone will call you blessed. Wouldn't it be nice for everybody to think that you're blessed? Anybody in here know that everybody in the world thinks that you are blessed? Here's a hint. You are American, therefore not everybody in the world thinks you are blessed. There are some real issues in the world. People see things very different ways. We are very blessed. Not everybody agrees. Yours will be a delightful land, as it, Malachi says. Jesus says in John's Gospel, you will see the heaven opened and these angels ascending and descending. These are all tangible things that you could put your hands on if they happened. Blessings and the people knowing that you live in a good land, and even seeing the angels is kind of a tangible thing to picture in our minds. What's the deeper spiritual meaning? What is God going to do in return? When we return to Him, He will return to us. What will that look like? Well, God promises through these things to live in covenant relationship with us. He promises to give to us more than we can even possibly imagine. Of course, the thing that He gave that is most valuable to us is our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave His life. He lived and died for you. For me. Someday, the locusts will not devour the crops. Someday, we will see the Son of Man coming from heaven. Someday, everything will be made new and made right. Someday, God promises, someday, That day is yet to come. That day is down the road. That day is when Christ returns. What has God promised? Really, quite a lot. Return to me, and I will return to you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse. Bring the full tithe. Please test me and see. Our English translations don't pick up on this word, please. It doesn't show up in the English, but in the Hebrew, there's a little word. It's transliterated N-A, na. Please. It's used a few hundred times throughout the Old Testament. And most of the time it's translated, please. It kind of softens a command. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse. Test me. It's not just test me like an angry test. It's please, for the sake of our relationship, test me. It's the same thing God said to Abraham. Remember last week we looked at Genesis 22. Abraham almost sacrifices his son Isaac. God said to him at the beginning of the story, please take your son Isaac, the one you love, your only son, and take him to Moriah and sacrifice him there. The same particle is there. Nah, please. Test me and see if I won't bless you beyond your understanding. So, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. God's command stands from Malachi to today. It stands from the time of Abraham to today. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse. The tangible side, one side of the coin, is the tenth. 10% of your income. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse. The other side of the coin is the spiritual side. Bring all of yourself before the Lord and put yourself into the offering plate. Because all you have belongs to Him. Commit to the Lord. Return to the Lord and He will return to you. My challenge for you from last week stands today. I'll remind you of it in 2 weeks' time. On the 1st of February, I would like for us to engage in an all-church tithe Sunday. On the 1st of February, the first Sunday of that month, just that one time, during our regular tithes and offerings, it won't look any different than every Sunday before. On our regular tithes and offerings, I would like for each of us to put in 10% of what we would make on a normal everyday week, whatever that might look like for you. I know some of our jobs are in flux or transition, or sometimes it's busy season and sometimes it's not. You might be on a fixed income, you might not be. Whatever a regular everyday week looks like for you, just a week, give 10% that day on the 1st of February, 2 weeks from today. Why do we do that? So that in the following weeks, the 8th and the 15th for our Guatemala folks when they get back, you'll be able to see what our giving potential is. We'll multiply that offering number by 52 and announce it and say, this is what our potential is as a church if we all gave 10% every week. And then we'll be able to see where we can go from there. Our annual budget is about $108,000. What if we could give $120,000? What could we do? What could the Lord do through us? Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, God says. Bring the food into the house of God, and then let's see what God will do with it. 2 weeks, all church tithe Sunday. The challenge for us is to give to the Lord, not to rob Him, materially and spiritually. The challenge is for us to give 10%, but also to realize that the meaning of the gift, the meaning of the necklace, the meaning of the Christmas gift is so much deeper than just that. The challenge is for you to put your entire self in the offering plate every Sunday. Our romantic relationships, such as they are, and our relationship with God have very little in common, really. Especially that one that I had with that girl back in college. But they do have this in common. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. We are either fully engaged in relationship with God or it's not at all. And the Lord always calls for us to return to Him, and He will return to you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, for this is what the Lord Almighty says. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we give you thanks this day. that you provide for all of our needs, that you are faithful beyond our understanding and certainly beyond what we deserve. We give you thanks for your word and for how you have provided for your church, your people, throughout our history. Help us, Lord, to commit ourselves fully to you every day, every Sunday, so that we might be found in you and that we might train ourselves to look forward to the time when you will return in power and in majesty and glory and make all things new. Until that time, Lord, we commit ourselves to you and ask that you would strengthen us in the days that lie ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.